Good morning. It's great to be with you at Rosewood Reform on this Sunday morning. It's always brings joy to my life to come into this place, not just because of great memories, but because you bring, I believe, a wonderful spirit, and I thank God for that, in regards to God at work. I reflect on the 18 months that God allowed me to be with you, and that's back some years ago, as you can note in the bulletin. And I could reflect for a long, long time about how God used that over and over again in my life. And so I'd be amiss not to say thank you and share that with you. Also, want to say praise the Lord for Pastor Jim coming through surgery. We pray that you'll have a good recovery, Pastor Jim, and Pastor Howard, for your continued faithful service here in this ministry. Next time I come, I want to be in the sanctuary. How about you? But this is good for today. My wife, Ruth, gives you her greetings. She's rather sad. I was talking to her as I was driving in this morning, although she's back in the great city of South Bend, caring for our one-year-old granddaughter. So that's a real privilege for her. God is good. And he's really blessing us. I jokingly said to a few friends on the way in as they welcomed me, I actually came out of retirement for this. I officially retired February 2, and here I'm all the way back in the great state of Michigan in the wonderful place called Rosewood Reformed Church, and I couldn't be happier about it. So I just thank God for that. And the amazing people of Notre Dame say hello. And they are horribly depressed because you may not be paying attention, but Notre Dame was not chosen to be in the NCAA tournament. So therefore, people are weeping in South Bend, and they're mourning. And so we need to remember them. So you just saw a video about Easter, and we're only a couple of weeks away from Easter. And it was truly humorous, and I really appreciated it. And I thank those who are planning this worship service for finding that video. One of the things that struck me as I watched the video was, so how often isn't that true? For those of us who grow up in the Christian faith and been a part of a church our entire life, we just make assumptions that people just get Easter. Right? I mean, who doesn't get Easter? Easter is a really big deal. But I think most of us, maybe all of us, would be taken back many times over that there are a lot of people, even people close by us, that perhaps are not really getting the essence of what is this really about? This thing about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How do we even begin to grasp or understand what Easter is really about? And I've been blessed to, I grew up in a Christian family. I grew up in a really wonderful church. I've been a part of the church my entire life. And so I've had a lot of advantages, and maybe you have as well. And yet I'm reminded over and over again in my life that this is more than remarkable. And it really goes beyond what I humanly can understand. And that's what makes it so challenging, but also so important. And so as we're just 2 weeks away from Easter, I felt led to share with you this morning what I believe Jesus used to help his followers begin to grasp what was going to happen and why it was so important. And I'm going to refer to it as a 3D preview of Easter. Now, I think about three-dimensional things because three dimensions make things feel more real, right? Now, I get teased a little bit. If you came to my house, you'd see in our living room a rather large TV, and it's curved. And I remind people I gave up my wheel horse tractor for that, right? You know? And at first I thought buying a TV with a curved screen was kind of silly, you know, like, you're just going over the top here, Art. This is goofy. You don't really need this. And I don't really need it. But for some reason, it makes it feel like it's more real. I particularly like it for sports, like March Madness, right? And I stayed overnight by my sister in the Kalamazoo area last night, and her TV's flat. And it was like, gee, that's really flat. I didn't say that to her. I didn't want to make her feel bad. You know, doesn't seem as real, you know, because three dimensions kind of open up reality, right? Things that are just on a flat wall are on a flat wall, and we can see it, but it doesn't, three dimensions is real. And I believe Jesus wanted to give more dimension to his followers to help them understand Easter is real. That what he did is real. It's not just a story. It's not just something to hope for. It actually is. And if you don't leave with anything else today, I hope you leave with maybe a richer understanding or a greater grasp or a better ability to get Easter into a 3D situation for you and for others around you. And so we're just going to spend the next few minutes, not hours, I'll be gracious. I could go on for hours, but they said like 25 minutes. So you call time out when it's over, okay? Because I'm really quite excited about this. And I believe it comes at just this certain time that was set up by God for his son to give this revelation, this 3D preview of Easter. We're going to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 11 and read there part of that chapter, verses 17 through 43. Now, to set the timing of this, Jesus has carried on ministry for 3 years. At my age, I feel like, that's not very long. But he really accomplished a lot in those 3 years. And he realized it's coming quickly to a close, his ministry on earth, that is. And so some really important things are going to be happening. And one of the more significant things is he's going to enter the city of Jerusalem to a crowd that's going to want to make him king. And just a few days later, there's going to be a crowd that's going to be happy to see him die a horrible death on a cross. And I don't know how you get a more dramatic situation than that to the conclusion of an earthly ministry. You know, I guess you conclude ministry, and mine wasn't that dramatic, and I'm glad for that. But this is kind of hard to comprehend, you know, this kind of drama. And so this is just on the threshold of that, that this call comes for Jesus. We're going to begin reading at verse 17. On his arrival, I need to set this up. I'm making some assumptions, so forgive me. I'm an old guy. Okay. Jesus is called to the home of Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are very close friends and very supportive of Jesus' ministry. And they had called for Jesus 2 days earlier because Lazarus was so sick. Jesus waited 2 days. Lazarus dies. But then Jesus decides he'll go there. All of this seems just wrong. Like, what's that about? You know, Jesus, this great preacher, teacher, and healer, why didn't you get there earlier? And so we pick up the reading at verse 17 when Jesus is going to arrive at their home. And on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And when Mary reached a place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit, and he was troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. And then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Did you hear that? "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Let's pause for prayer. Lord, as we listen to your word, we pray your Spirit would have our hearts wide open to what you want us to receive today. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. It appears that for at least the key players, if not all the observers, that Jesus was late. Have you ever been late and others make you very much aware that you're late? That's annoying, isn't it? You know, it's like, "Oh, you're late." And it's even worse when they don't say it. They just look at you, you know, and they stare you down, you know. Well, if that's true in just like practical matters in life, how much more true when you're known as the great healer and people are saying, "If you just would have shown up." I mean, you're not like 2 minutes late or 2 hours late. You're 2 days late. You're late. You're really late. I'm convinced that the first D in offering an important dimension of creating reality of who he is and what Easter is about is divine timing. Mark that down well, both in your mind and your heart. Divine timing. Jesus had divine timing because he was fully divine. Timing is a really big deal. What appears to be too late in this situation is in reality perfect divine timing. This is so critical for us to pay attention to and to get a hold of in our life. And even in his conversation with Martha, Jesus is being patient with her as she's sorting out, yeah, I believe that Lazarus will rise again in the day of the resurrection. You know, she's trying to be okay with what happened, even though she's really grieving and all of this is really sad. She's lost her brother who she dearly loved, and she was hoping Jesus would save his life before he died, and she's got all that going on. Bless her heart. And Jesus, I think, would say, bless her heart. She's really trying, and I love that about her. But she still hasn't gotten it. No, he said, no. No, Martha. I'm the resurrection and the life. That's what this is about. And he doesn't say, that's why I showed up late. But that's why I showed up right now. Because you need to see this. You need to experience this dimension of the truth. It's kind of like the guy there with the jelly beans, like, that's this Jesus? Really? This Jesus? You know, the one with this last, yeah, this one. He doesn't just heal a blind. He just doesn't call the lame to walk again. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And my timing is perfect because I'm fully divine. John is now wanting us to understand the fullness of this truth, of what he spoke about in the first chapter of the gospel. The 14th verse of John 1 says, the Word became flesh, he made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of this one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. John is talking about God in the flesh. How can this be? How can God be flesh? There's nothing in my understanding that can grasp that very well. I just don't get that. I get flesh very well because mine's getting old. It isn't what it was. And it has real limits. I wish it didn't, but it does. And I get tired quicker than I used to, and I go, that's not nice. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, there's just all kinds of things that happen in the flesh. You're acquainted with it, right? I don't need to give you any lessons on that. You get that. But God in the flesh, I don't get that so much. I want to, but it's just hard to get my mind wrapped around that. Try to understand that. And so Jesus is standing there in the flesh and says, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's where the divine meets the human flesh in a way that we just have a hard time grasping. But it's so real. And it's seen most in this particular dimension in the timing. He's showing, see, my timing is right on. I'm trying to live more and more into divine timing so that I can have more and more of the wonder of Easter in my life. And I want to challenge you this morning for that. One of the things I told God in the timing of my retirement is, I don't understand the timing of this, but I guess I don't need to. But what I really want to do is I want to be in the places with the people you want me in. So I'm glad I'm here this morning. I trust that's part of God's divine timing. But one of the things I told God is, I said, you know, you've given me this unbelievable amount of experience. It doesn't mean I know everything. I feel like that bald guy in the commercial walking around saying, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. You know, my wife's still tired of me saying, that's me. That's me right there, you know. But I really do feel that way. It doesn't mean I know everything. But, man, I've been bumped around in life, and I've had to, privilege of really experiencing a lot of things. I've been in a lot of places. And one of the things I prayed is, Lord, there's maybe I could help some young people. Maybe I could help some young men. You know, because the journey, I mean, there's lots of challenges in life, and life has become a lot more complex. So a couple days ago, I was out shopping for a car. That's all confusing, right? You know, and so I'm trying to find the right car. I'm not sure why, you know, but I'm doing that.
And this young man who's supposed to be selling me the car, and I told him one of the things I got to do is I got a bad back. I'm an old man with a really bad back. And I said, I got to sit in the car for a while to see if I actually like how it sits. It's really kind of weird, but I said, I hope you'll be patient with me. And this young man was really interesting because he got the car I wanted to sit in, and he sat in the car with me. But that was kind of weird, like, go away. And I'm sitting in the car trying to check out the car, but I'm trying to see how the seat sits and all this, and he starts yakking. And young men don't usually yak. Sorry if there's young men here, I don't train to, you know, but they're usually quieter. And he says, you seem like the kind of guy that could help me. And I'm like, what? I'm shopping for a car, you know. And he says, I hope you don't mind this, but it seems like, he said, I'm having some problems in my relationship with my girlfriend. Could I talk about that with you? And I'm like, I guess. I'm not making this up, folks. This is down in South Bend, Indiana. So, and in a Toyota, you know, and so now you know the location. But really fine young man. And he starts pouring his heart out about some things he doesn't know what to do with. And I'm like, wow, timing. Timing. Oh, my goodness. God's timing. Well, after sitting in the car for about 15 minutes, you know, I told him, I said, look, I'm not going to apologize for who I am or my faith. I'm a Christian. He said, I kind of can tell that. And I was glad he said that. And I think, oh, my gosh, if you had a clue who I was and what I've done. Oh, my goodness, my journey, you know. And, you know. And I said to him, one of the things I said to him was, look, if you're going to make a commitment to the young lady, make the commitment for life. And mean it, and do everything you can to keep it, in spite of any shortcomings she has. And I said, let me tell you this, young man. In my work, I had many, many times when I sat with people toward the end of life, and things got really bad for one of the marital partners, really tough. And I watched the other marital partner keep their promises. They weren't perfect people, but they kept their promises. They were right there. For better, for worse, through all the hard stuff. And I said, I watched them hold hands when they died. And then I did the funeral. And this young man is just tears pouring down his cheek. And young men don't like to cry. And I said, let me tell you something. It doesn't get any richer than that. As morbid as that sounds. That's an unbelievable gift. That's a gift God gives back for people who will keep their promise, a lifelong commitment. He said, oh, man, I needed to hear that. Can you imagine a young man saying that today? We were total strangers. Divine timing. I'm hoping that I got to give him just a little bit of Easter. Just a little bit of what God wants us to understand about life and death, about the journey. Now, am I a genius? No, I'm just a guy on the journey, for crying out loud. But with you, I've gotten to see this. I've gotten a chance to understand it a little better than him. Oh, wow. Man, he didn't even talk about if I'd buy the car or not. I just left. And that's okay. Now, I don't know about the car, but I know in God's timing, I was supposed to share something with him. And not because I'm a preacher, I'm not his pastor. Not because I was ordained to ministry, but because God has his timing. And I want you to think about that and pray about that. And especially right now as we're approaching Easter. Like this guy with the jelly beans. Somebody's got to help that guy. Somebody's got to help him. And maybe it's you. So how about if you pray every day in the realm of divine timing, God, help me see it. Help me see it. As I went home, my wife said, how was it? I said, I don't know about the car, but man, that kid, that was a neat guy. That was such a neat, she, what are you talking about? I said, I met this young man. It was so cool. That was great. I used to be a car guy, you know. I didn't even remember much about the car. Yeah, But man, that was really spectacular. Divine timing. You see, everything was on the line for Jesus to demonstrate that he was fully divine. And that's, even though he was very close to Martha and Mary, grasping that he was fully divine was still right there in front of them. That was so critical. Then I want to move on to the next D of the 3D, the second D, the divine emotion. In the midst of grieving friends, Jesus has the perfect opportunity to display divine emotion. And we don't usually think about God as emotional. I don't normally think of that. Maybe you do, but I don't. And I think one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture is this two-word verse, and it's verse 35 in this chapter, Jesus wept. What is that about? Because weeping feels kind of weak. Like, I can't do anything about this. I don't believe that's what this is about at all. Jesus could do whatever he needed to do about this, and he did. Then why is he weeping? Well, because he is showing the divine emotion that demonstrates he's not just fully divine, but he's fully human, like us. He's absolutely fully human, like us, and he can fully identify with our emotions. Well, praise God. Praise God. Do you know anybody that can fully understand you? Sorry, you're complicated. That's one of the things I told that young man. If you think you're going to figure her out, step back. Sorry, ladies. That wasn't just a gender thing. It's a human thing. We're very complicated. Even my wife, who dearly loves me, who's wonderfully patient, for those of you who know her, you'd go, oh man, she is patient. And just a delightful person. She's 41 years. She still doesn't completely get me. And that's okay. I don't always completely get me. I don't always completely understand my feelings. Like, there are days when I go, Art, why are you feeling that way? For Pete's sake, get over it. Unfortunately, I'm an extrovert. Sometimes I actually say it. I wish I wouldn't. Our emotions are very complicated, and they're very difficult. But one of the things Jesus is doing here in this preview of Easter is, I get it. I get exactly what you're going through. I get exactly who you are. I am fully human, and I'm the only human that's fully divine, and I get you better than anybody. And that's a wonderful piece of Easter. That the one who went to the cross for me and for you isn't somebody distant. He's somebody that knows you better than anybody knows you. This is a tremendous thing. Everything was on the line and in line for Jesus to demonstrate, I'm fully human and absolutely get what you go through. Thought about that last week when I visited my 97-year-old dad, who we put in an Alzheimer unit now. And dad's been blessed with a long life, but it gets kind of tough at this point. You know? And my dad was so physically strong, and now he can't even get out of the wheelchair on his own. And he was looking at me and saying, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And his unbelievably strong arms and hands just don't move very good anymore. And this is hard stuff. And it was a little bit different kind of emotion than Art's had for a while. And I went, I so much want to be here. In my head, I'm going, I so much want to be here with you, Dad, and I so much don't want to deal with this. Let's just be honest. Right? I just don't want to deal with this. And it doesn't mean I'm not grateful for my dad. It doesn't mean I'm not grateful for his long life. It just means this is hard. And I've seen a lot of this stuff in my life because, like most pastors, I've visited a lot of people going through hardship. And you don't need to be a pastor to go through hardship. This is hard stuff. And I had been preparing for this sermon, and I thought, well, come on now, think about this some more. Process this some more. You got to get up and share this with people at Rosewood. Jesus fully understood what I was going through. I went home, my wife asked me, so how was it? I'm like, oh man, I don't want to make her feel bad, but I felt like talking for 2 hours about how much I hated that. I mean, that's what I felt like doing.
Well, I didn't think that would help her. So I told her a little bit because she was genuinely concerned, and she was being very kind about it. But she can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about it. But Jesus fully understands. And that helps. That's a preview of Easter, you see. It gives that dimension. It makes it more real. Like, I get this, art. I got it. So next time you think nobody understands me, think again. You stop right there. Put the brakes on. That's not true. Don't tell yourself a lie. It could be the one closest to you on this earth, your spouse, your husband, your wife, doesn't fully get you. That's okay. That's not fair. You know, I deeply love my wife. I'm deeply committed to her. I don't always get her. She's an introvert. You know, I'm like, speak up. Say more. I don't, you know, and that doesn't mean I don't love. I mean, let's just face it. We have real limitations in understanding each other. It doesn't mean we don't love each other, right? Let's get real about that. But don't tell yourself a lie that there's no one that understands you. That's not true. Because Jesus does. Right in the midst of this, as a preview of Easter, Jesus, in the midst of his friends and enemies, by the way, we don't have time to get into all those details, and I think I'm past time, aren't I, Howard? Howard B. Timer. I want to get this done. In the midst of that, Jesus demonstrates, I get fully what's going on here, even for you emotionally. So don't forget that. Last thing. Third dimension, not the least, divine power. Jesus is the one and the only one who has the power to overcome death. Everything was on the line here. Take the stone away. Move the stone. All right, if he doesn't get this, his ministry is a total waste. Right? Everything else doesn't matter. So he made the blind see. So he made the lame walk. So you spoke as one who had authority. But if you blow this, you said take the stone away, and you call him out, he better come out. Right? And this is where either there's divine power or there's not. Now, I've been around some amazing people in my life, some amazing leaders. I've been around some amazing doctors who do great work. Somebody put a new shoulder in Pastor Jim. How do they do that? That's amazing stuff. It really is. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for what can be done. I look at the technology today, and I go, some people are really smart. How does this stuff work? You know, I remember when a camera was this big, clumsy thing. You took a picture. You had to get film developed. Now you take a thing called a phone, and you text the photo to somebody. Really? Hey, who's thinking all this stuff up and making it work? I mean, people are really smart, but they don't call dead people out of graves. Have you seen anybody doing that lately? They don't. Period. Only one person who was fully human and fully divine could do that, and he previewed Easter with it. Lazarus, come out! Come on out of there, even though you're smelly. He didn't say smelly, but he was. And they said, take the grave clothes, take that off of him. And there he was. Divine power. Now here's what you got to remember. Here's what I got to remember. This is what we got to hang on to. It wasn't a one-time deal. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And what does he say with that? Did he stop there? No. He who believes in me, though he die, say it with me, yet shall. Right. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Will you say amen? I know, I'm not trying to make you Baptist. Don't, it's all right. It's okay, and I love Baptists too, but I mean, it's all right. Let's say that together. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. So I get back in my car in Rensselaer, Indiana, and I'm kind of tearful because I really didn't want to see my dad that way. And I said, Jesus, I need to hear this again. One more time. I've preached on it. I've taught on it. I've read it. I've tried to live it. But it's so hard to understand that kind of power. I've watched space rockets go to the moon. I've lived in a generation like most of you to see incredibly powerful things built that I can't imagine, and I'm intrigued by all that power. But this is amazing. This is in a whole different dimension. And it's so important, I'm reminded of it, even as a longtime Christian, let alone the guy filling Easter eggs, let alone the guy. So here's the deal, folks. We're going to wrap it up with this. Will you every day give attention to these three dimensions in your life? Divine timing, divine emotion, and divine power. Because if you will, you'll live into Easter more and more every day. And that's the wonder of this. And not only will you get to live into it, you'll get to be part of other people experiencing it. Like the guy sitting in the car with me. Let me tell you a little bit, young man. And not because I know everything, but because I've been blessed to experience some of this, the reality, the 3D dimension of the truth. That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. This isn't a story somebody made up. This isn't something that churches try to do to draw people into a building. It's not that. It's the miracle of miracles. It's what we need most, more than anything. You know, this exceeds the best cell phones or the latest computer or any of that stuff. And I'm not against technology. I appreciate it. But my cell phone isn't doing my dad any good. Or me, for that matter, in terms of what's ahead. But Jesus is. Because he is the resurrection and the life. He is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of truth. Why? So that we could see the glory of God. Because there's so much in the world that blocks that out, doesn't it? Isn't that true? I don't have a day go by that there aren't things or even people blocking that out on me, where I'm just seeing the stuff I don't want to see, and it's ugly and it's negative and it's difficult and it's dismal. And, you know, if I hear any more about school shootings, my heart's going to break, folks. And we could sit here all afternoon and try to solve that. And it's so heartbreaking, isn't it? It's terrible. And we do need to work on those things. But what really gives me hope in a world and in a society that's so shattered is this. This three-dimensional view of Easter that at least allows me, as I'm still in the flesh, to see that God gets me. He gets my emotions because he sent his Son in the flesh. That his timing is perfect, even though I might think he's late. My thinking he's late doesn't mean I'm right. His timing is divine. It's perfect. And most of all, his power is sufficient. And don't ever forget that. Don't just prepare for Easter. Live into it, folks. Live into it every day. There's going to be a person around you every day that needs some Easter from you. Will you commit to that? At least give them one of the D's, if not all three. Maybe there's some timing God's giving you that you only get once. Maybe there's some emotion you need to just let somebody else share with you. And maybe there's a time you need to remind them that God has the power to do whatever needs to be done, including resurrection. May God bless you with the 3 D's of Easter. Let's pray together. Lord, Wow, I'm so inefficient or insufficient to be able to share the marvel of this truth. But I thank you for your word, and I thank you that your word has made it abundantly clear that your Son is the Word became flesh, and he's dwelt among us full of grace and truth, and that he is the resurrection and the life. I thank you for the faithfulness of this body of believers at Rosewood Reformed Church to be that witness in this community. And here's the thing right now. We pray that every one of us will not only personally experience fresh and new the importance of these three dimensions of Easter, but will also be prepared to share them and willing to share them with others. We pray in our Savior's name, and God's people say, amen. Would you please stand? And we're going to pretend it's 10:30. Right? Will you do that? Will you forgive me? Hey, I drove over two hours to get here. Come on. And I sat on a bad back in a car I want to get rid of. So if you feel sorry for your behind, I'm not with you. So what are you going to do this week? 3 days, right? Will you carry that with you? Okay, receive God's blessing. So you go from this place. May God's timing, his perfect timing, may his ability to fully understand what you're feeling, your emotions, but most of all, may his power encourage you. May it give you incredible hope. May it give you a witness that can help others. And most of all, may it give you divine purpose in your life. May God's blessing be with you today and every day. Amen. God bless you.